This is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. You've got much to look forward to today. Big day as far as the guests go. We got Mike Blowers coming up at 3 o'clock for our weekly conversation with the best color analyst in the business. John Clayton at 4 o'clock. We're going to speak with the Seahawks linebacker Jordan Brooks at 4:30. And then, of course, it's Tuesday, which means at 5 o'clock, El Hombre. Michael Bradley will be joining us on the program. So, good stuff right there, Dave.
I think we heard, you can hear a difference in Jordan Brooks as far as, we talked to him last year.
Did we?
Yeah.
I don't even remember speaking with him.
Yeah, and you know, he's a quiet guy, but he's very thoughtful. And he has a couple of answers, I thought, to, you know, coming back this year and the difference and everything that I thought were well said, well spoken.
It's difference, Dave.
Did I say difference? Difference?
You said difference. It's difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. You forgot the N.
All right.
I won't tell Moyer.
Yeah, don't tell Paul. He might be listening. He might get sensitive. Over
no, he's a good sport. He wouldn't get mad. No. So, Jordan, you're right. I thought he was really good. We recorded that earlier, and he was pretty, I'm not going to say over the top, verbose, like he wouldn't shut up or anything, but he was, yeah, more than what I remember him being, just listening to him in interviews and things like that. So, good conversation with Jordan Brooks coming up at 4:30 today as their mandatory mini camp gets underway today, tomorrow, and Thursday. 3-day mini camp out there.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get out there. No, I couldn't get out there because they moved it to, I think, 110. Mm. So, you know, we're talking to Blowers today and, you know, all that. I'm hoping on Thursday be able to get out there, but before the show. So, it sounds like everything's going pretty good. It was good seeing, you know, I made the comment in the interview with Jordan Brooks. He's not skipping leg days. He looks like he's in great shape, man. Great shape. So, good to have everybody back. Is it kind of, you know, the whole thing about them not showing up and the solidarity and everything of those, the OTAs, is that kind of faded away already?
Yeah.
I don't think even if they screw something up or, you know, they start off slow or make a mistake or whatever, are we going to hearken back to the, oh, well, they should have been in camp back in, you know, June or
more
May.
It was more of a principle thing. It wasn't about, oh, now they're going to stink this year. It's going to be because they didn't attend this. It was never about this is going to translate to them being a subpar team. It was about, yeah, you're seeing your rivals, the teams you are in direct competition with, and the 49ers having everybody show up out there. And here you are with a brand new offensive coordinator and things like that. It just felt like you should be there. You're getting paid a lot of money just to be there and not hit each other. Nobody's wearing pads. Nobody's getting hit.
Right.
It was more about what it represented to me rather than, oh, well, now they're going to stink.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. And also it's just mystifying as well that we all go out there. It's, and if you've ever been out there for the, you know, the camps, they were, I don't know if they're going to do that this year. If they're going to open up entirely, probably not, but you know, they'll bus people that are up on the berm, mm-hmm. and you just see, it's just a beautiful scene, first of all, with just really well-kept grass, which I love that part, Bob. You can see how they mow it.
That's all you care about. You don't care about the water being there. You don't care about the views, the equipment. The grass looks nice.
Grass looks great. But, you know, you're right there on the lake. You know, there's eagles flying around out there and just a, you know, great facility as far as, the, you know, the food and all the training and the weight room is, you know, high tech, state of the art. So, yeah, it's just always kind of weird that they wouldn't go there. Plus, you know, there's the risk of if you do get hurt somewhere else. I mean, if you get hurt there, it's not going to be a non-football injury.
Right, right.
So, but yeah, they're getting going, and I think, you know, it sounds like everything's going smoothly. And I just, you know, that was just something that for a while there bothered me because you could see that the Rams and you could see that the Niners, the most competitive division, unfortunately, that's where we are. You know, you hear that not just from us. You hear it from every, you know, I was listening to the NFL Network, and, you know, a couple of the analysts were saying NFC West, most difficult division in all of football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're out there. They're getting down to business as much as they can in these little mini camps before training camp. They'll do this, and then we won't hear anything about them for a couple of weeks. Hopefully we'll hear about Jamal Adams in a deal or something along the way. But in terms of real news, not going to hear anything for it. They're going to be off the grid, so to speak.
Well, you hope so. Because
you don't want to hear anything unless it's, hey, new deal in place, or, hey, they acquired this player or whatever. But, yeah, outside of that, I don't want to hear anything about
it. Well, remember a few years ago, I know it was when we were doing this show, that was when the Aaron Hernandez thing, did that happen in like 12 or 13 maybe, 14? But, you know, that broke at that time. You know, camps are over. It's between then and the start of training camp. There was always, you know, something going wrong, somebody getting arrested, somebody getting a DUI, things like that. So you don't want to hear anything like that.
Yeah, this is, you talk to the coaches every year, and they're like, this is the time I dread the most.
Yeah.
It's not the bye week. It's not, you know, before this camp or this mini camp or these OTAs. It's the gap between the mandatory mini and the start of training camp.
Yeah. And I'm blanking on the guy who had the ATV accident. You know, that Malik McDowell.
Yeah.
And there's a guy they have down there named Mo Kelly, who is fantastic. I mean, he does a great job with, you know, just advising these guys. And I know that, you know, one of the things that he says to the rookies is this is the most vulnerable time, you know, of your career, because you don't have a contract yet if you're not signed. And, you know, you need to come and pass the physical. You got drafted in the first, second, third, fourth round, but you're not going to get that payday till you show up here. And so when they leave the camp, you know, these months right here are crucial. Just wrap yourself up in bubble wrap, you know, keep working out.
Don't get in trouble.
Don't do anything. And yeah, Mo does a really good job with the guys, and you know, they have lots of off-field problems and things that he's able to solve, not just, you know, taking care of living conditions, stuff like that, putting them in touch with people that they can trust, you know, whether it's a realtor or, you know, anything. So, yeah, it's they have a lot of resources that are available to them down at the VMAC.
Well, we'll talk about some of that again. Jordan Brooks will be with us at 4:30 today. Meanwhile, the Mariners pick up a win last night over the Minnesota Twins, who are not a great team. They're a great hitting team.
Yeah.
They're not their pitching is problematic. They're well below .500. But you beat them. So you strung together two in a row after what was just an absolute gut punch of a game in the fashion they lost on Saturday night. We talked about that. Mm-hmm. Marco Gonzalez taking the hill. It wasn't – I like – much like Kikuchi, he went out there and he was able to grind it out when he wasn't sharp. And he got him – he gave up a couple solo shots. And, you know, it wasn't his best stuff that night. It wasn't, you know, prime Marco Gonzalez. He walked to – gave up 3 earned runs in 5 innings. That's not a great night. He wasn't brutal. He kept him in the game. But he's a guy that, you know, you're still on a bit of a pitch count through 91 pitches. I would assume his next start, he's full go, no restrictions, you know, as long as he's getting outs and things like that, they'll let him go. But, you know, it was okay. It wasn't great, didn't stink, kept the team in the game, and they won.
Did you feel that way while you were watching it?
Yeah, I thought he wasn't that sharp, especially in the beginning. I thought, okay, he's not fooling anybody. He left a couple of meatballs over the plate, and luckily they were just solo shots. But he was able to grind it out, and that's, we talk about it all the time. These guys don't go out there, with the exception of DeGrom, and have their A stuff every time. They go out there, and there are nights where things just aren't working. They're not able to land their primary pitch. They're just not. Their command is completely off, and they. Rather than burn your bullpen out, they find a way to grind out 5, maybe 6 innings, 7 innings in the case of Kikuchi last time, where looked like, okay, this is looking like a short night for him. Right. And all of a sudden, it's a 7-inning night with no runs allowed.
Right.
You know, so that those are huge nights when it's not clicking for you as a starter, yet you find a way to, A, keep your team in the game, and, B, not trash your bullpen. And he was able to do that last night. So I give him credit. Was it his best performance? No. Was it terrible? No. It was just somewhere in between. He's your number one guy. Yeah. I'm hoping he gets to that point now. You know, health is obviously a huge issue. But when he's healthy, I'm just hoping he gets to that point where he's that guy you rely upon. He's just the steady Eddie guy. Yeah, he's not blowing guys away left and right with 97, 98. But he's your number one starter in this rotation. And you need him to be that guy. You can sort of not forget about, but you just feel like, all right, roll him out there. We know what we're getting out of him, because he hasn't really been that guy. He's only had like 2 really good starts this season.
Yeah. You know, I always say this, that on a football team, you like to have one corner, at least one, that you don't have to worry about. You want to have a good left tackle that you don't have to worry about the quarterback. And then you want the kicker. I mean, and this is kind of like a kicker. It's like, you know, you just you don't want to hear anything negative. You don't want to have to wonder. You just want to know he's going to be able to go out. And obviously, you know, you're going to win some, lose some. But, you know, I felt pretty bad about that performance last night. I mean, looking at the numbers, you know, I guess if you'd asked me if I wasn't keeping track just watching the game, which I did, it felt worse than that. But it might be because of my expectations. You know, of Marco. He's just such a solid guy. But as you mentioned, five innings pitched, what, 91 pitches?
Mm-hmm.
Only a couple walks. That's fine. But you get five Ks, gave up three runs. They win the game. So, yeah, it's fine. By the way, you mentioned Jacob DeGrom. I was watching MLB Network. He's batting 400, pitcher for the Mets. He's batting 400. He has more RBIs than earned runs given up.
He's ridiculous.
He's
ridiculous.
And it's funny, we don't, you know, we hear about Otani all the time as a pitcher that can hit, but you know, I don't know what's more important, more impressive.
Otani.
Yeah.
Because he's doing it every day.
Yeah.
DeGrom's hitting when he pitches every fifth day, I don't know if they have a 5 or 6 man rotation, but he's only hitting on the days that he's pitching, whereas Otani is an everyday guy, and then he pitches on some. You know, every fifth day.
But the thing is, he also can get into a groove, and, you know, whereas DeGrom, it's like every, like you said, every 5, 6, 7 days, you know, he goes up. I'm sure it won't last. You know, I probably won't go 400 by the end of the year. But more impressive is just his, what is it, 0.56 ERA?
Yeah, 0.56.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Amazing.
He's throwing, every pitch is over 100 miles an hour. I mean, it's just, he's functioning on a different level. Can he keep it going the whole season? We'll see. That's a pretty tall order. That's a standard that's not many can reach and sustain. So we'll see if he's going to be the outlier there. But yeah, Marco is listen, if you have a loaded rotation, Marco's not a number one. He is in this rotation. That's who he is. He's steady. He's consistent. Hasn't been that this year. Injury is part of it. Got off to a weird start. He just wasn't that guy. He was the one guy we looked at and just said, you don't have to worry about Marco. You know what you're getting. Now we worry about, what does Sheffield look like? He's a young guy. Dunn's a young guy. What does he look like? At the time, Paxton. Can he be healthy? Flexen. No idea. So there were a lot of questions for different reasons. He was the one guy nobody questioned because he's just a steady, solid piece to a rotation. He's number one in this rotation, but if you're looking at, you know, a loaded rotation, or even a, you know, somebody that's got a DeGrom, that's got a healthy Paxton, that's got somebody who's up there as a dominating pitcher, he's not your number one. But he is here, and he's the guy you count on. And you've got to get back to that point of being able to count on him. And hey, kudos to the bullpen for coming in and giving you four innings of work and not allowing any runs. They allowed zero walks and just two hits.
Yeah.
So the bullpen bounces back in a very big way. And now that they've won, you know, two in a row, Twins are a team you should beat. They're 26-40 right now. Not a great team. You got them at home, so it's a series you should win.
Yeah.
And there was – so, yeah, that was great to see. How about Jake Bowers, the newest addition to the team, with a big home run in the eighth inning?
Here's the set, and the 1-0 pitch swung on and a fly ball into deep center field. Gordon going back, leaps up, and this one is gone. Goodbye, baseball. In and out of the seats, a little to the right of the batter's eye. Jake Bowers with his first home run as a Seattle Mariner, his third home run of the season. This one just clears the wall out in center field, beyond the reach of a leafy Nick Gordon, and the Mariners have the lead, 4-3 here in the bottom of the eighth. Welcome to Seattle, Jake Bowers.
And that turns out to be the difference in the game.
Yep, the difference.
The difference in the game.
Yeah. How about Demo's hit, the triple, where you got the chalk outline of Celestro out there
up against the wall?
Against the wall. Oh, man. You know, that looked like, you know.
It looked like it hurt.
It did. It
rattled his cage a little bit.
Especially just not knowing when that wall is going to, you know, meet.
Yeah, you see him feeling for the offhand, right, they're tracking the ball. They know they're getting close. They can feel it, you know, once they hit the warning track under their feet, so they know. And you see him reaching with that offhand. And
right.
Then he jumps for the ball and jumps sort of face first into the wall there.
Yeah, and Demo gets a triple out of it and ends up scoring France, and that tied the game. But Celestro, that home run he hit was ridiculous. It got out in a hurry.
That was his first home run, his first career home run.
Wow.
Yeah, line drive.
I noticed
left field.
I noticed his number for some reason on his jersey.
I don't. What is his number?
79.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why? You know, I wrote it down because my brother was number 79 at Stanford. I played together. We played together for 3 years. And, you know, I was just like, what a weird number for a baseball player. But anyway, so you see Demo getting the triple there, and then Chargois was really good.
Yeah, gave you two innings of work, scoreless, no walks. So,
yeah,
a lot of good things coming out of there. And everybody in the lineup had a hit. Everybody except my guy, Taylor Trammell.
Yeah.
He's starting to look like he did before he left. The frustration.
Don't you say that. Don't you speak that evil, Bob.
He struck out two times. I think he's got seven strikeouts in his last three games. He looks like he's not seeing the ball.
Yeah.
He looks like his timing is off. Like he's just not. We'll ask Mike Blowers about it, but it's starting to trend the wrong way. He was making outs before when he first came up. I think he's hitting 187. I'll look it up. Since he's been back. Mm-hmm. And even when he was making outs, you're like, okay, he's on the ball. He's not striking out. You know, that was the biggest problem is he struck out 41 times in 83 at-bats his first go-round. Just untenable, way too much. He's striking out a lot less, yet it's starting to creep in now. It's becoming more over the last handful of games, and I'm just wondering, all right, where's the confidence? Is he kind of, oh, no, here we go again? Is he going to be able to find his way out of this? Mm-hmm. I mean, I couldn't root for the guy any harder, but – right now, I'm a little worried about where he's at. Not that he's not going to amount to something, just where he's at currently. And, all right, is this going to be fixable, or is there going to be another trip down to AAA at some point, or how's this going to work out?
Maybe. I mean, look, that'd be fine, right? I mean, we don't want to see him go back down again, but, you know, like Mike will tell us every time we talk to him, you know, most players go down a couple of times.
Yeah, problem is they need him right now because Haniger's down, hopefully not for long. Kyle Lewis is out, which we don't expect. Maybe we'll see him at some point in the season. Yeah, he still haven't really received much of an update on what's going on with him other than Jerry saying we hope to see him at some point in the season. So we're not going to see him anytime soon. So you're down currently two outfielders. Again, hopefully Haniger will be back soon. We'll be okay. But right now you need Trammell. You need him to produce. And so far he's not. He was the only guy in the lineup without a hit last night. So that was kind of a bummer. But everybody else, I mean, J.P. Crawford is just killing it as your leadoff hitter, hitting .274. His on-base percentage keeps going up, .341. And Jake Fraley, man, give him credit. We were not talking about this guy when we were talking about the depth of the outfield. He was, you know, hurt right away, so he was just out of sight, out of mind. Two more hits last night, two more walks. He's on base four times last night. His on-base, he's got his average up to .275, which is great. He's got a .493 on-base percentage right now. He's on base almost every other time he's up at the plate.
Yeah, the only person, and I was going to say, you know who likes playing outfield? Nelson Cruz. What?
He wants to play outfield.
He does want to, but
the teams don't want him out there.
Should they have kept him? Is he a guy, I mean, he has, in the last 10 games, he's had one game where he did not get a hit. And last night, what, he had three singles? Or was there a double in there?
He was 3-for-4. I think they were all singles.
He had a walk.
Yeah.
And so
he's got a .373 on base percentage, hitting .297 right now.
Yeah. I'm just going.
He'll be 41 July 1st.
Yeah. Coming up here soon. So, yeah, I was just thinking about that last night. Is that because, you know, they put the graphic up there against left-handed pitchers since 2019. He's third in batting average, third, and this is all Major League Baseball. Third in on-base percentage, and then first in slugging percentage, OPS, and home runs versus left-handers.
Yeah, I wish he was still here. I mean, would he have been the difference between them going to a postseason scenario or not? No.
No.
No, and I get why they did what they did. And I guess my only wish for him is he had gone to a team where he's going to be in a position to consistently contend for a postseason spot and have success. It's not with the Twins right now. You know, based on the way their team's functioning. And I got what I wanted last night. I wanted him to play really well, but his team to lose.
Yeah, exactly. That's you called that.
So, well, that was a good night. He goes 3-for-4. He's on base four times. He raises his on base, his average. But the Mariners win. That's how it should be.
Well, I just thought about it because, you know, you look at some of the rebuilds and some of these guys that you want to keep around, you know, like we're talking about Mitch Haniger and, you know, was maybe Nelson Cruz a guy who was an all-star the last year here and hit, what, 37 home runs? Mm-hmm. I mean, his four seasons in Seattle, 44, 43, 39, and 37 home runs.
Yep. Productive to say the very least. Let's take two.
We have some more holdouts. Miami Dolphins cornerback Xavien Howard, not at mandatory minicamp. He wants a new contract despite signing a 5-year, $75 million extension in 2019. However, since then, his own teammate, Byron Jones, signed a deal worth more, as well as Jalen Ramsey's $100 million deal that he's staring at in L.A.
Hey, that's you and your agent's fault. Your agent is supposed to have some level of foresight to look ahead and say, here's where I see salaries going. Here are some of the guys that could be in a position to make these salaries. It's like these quarterbacks that are topping each other each time somebody signs a new deal. You can't always just stomp your feet and hold your breath the second somebody surpasses the big deal that you signed. You just signed this in 2019.
I know.
This is not an old deal. You're not entering the final year. You're not entering the final 2 years. You just signed a 5-year deal in 2019, which at the time was an exorbitant deal.
Well, and they put like $150 million into their two corners. And Byron Jones, his numbers were not very good going into last year. This guy, Xavien Howard, had 10 interceptions last year.
He's a heck of a player, but come on, man. I mean, these guys all know there's a cap. This is how it goes. You sign a deal this year, and next year somebody playing your position on another team who's really good is going to surpass your deal, and then somebody will surpass that guy's deal the following year. That's how it goes. That's how it happens. So I don't have sympathy for the guy. I'm sorry.
Well, the injury hits keep coming to starting pitchers. Max Scherzer will miss his next start due to a groin issue. Rays ace Tyler Glasnow left last night's start after just 53 pitches, and today they found out he has a partial UCL tear. And Shane Bieber on the 10-day IL after that start against the Mariners, he has a right shoulder strain.
The Mariners broke him. They broke him. They broke him down, and you know, everybody was speculating about the spider tack, and oh, his spin rate was way down in that game. Was he not using? We're gonna find out. We'll talk about that later in the show. But
pitchers are fragile, man.
Yeah. There's a lot of injuries going on in the league, as we know here. Certainly.
I guess maybe without the spider tack, they're gonna have to exert themselves a little bit more.
Maybe a little bit more stress on the joints there. Yeah. All right. Take two is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/cyberknifeprostate. Coming up, which of these Mariners do you trust the most when they step up to the plate? I was thinking about this last night. You guys can text in your answers to that. 710-710. We'll tell you what we think. Coming up next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
This hour, Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. We've got Mike Blowers joining us at the top of the hour. Make sure you tune in for that. As I was watching the game last night, Dave, I'm just sitting here, you know, each guy comes up. You've got a different level, at least I do. I've got a different level of anticipation and expectation sort of attached to each guy. And I just started thinking, which of these guys do I just feel like, yeah, he's going to find his way on base, whether it's a walk, whether it's a hit, he gets hit by a pitch. This guy's just going to get on. That's just what you believe when he steps up to the plate. And how many of those guys are there in this lineup truly right now? This changes throughout depending on who's hot and things like that. But as we sit right now, two of the guys that I'd list are guys we had one we didn't even talk about. And the other guy we were talking about, is this guy ever going to square up a ball? It's J.P. Crawford and Jake Fraley.
Fraley, yeah.
And then the third guy would be Haniger. I just have an expectation he's going to find his way on base. Ty France to a lesser extent, who's not hitting for power right now, but he's getting on base. A lot of it getting plunked. You know, he's finding his way on base. So those are the kind of the four guys I guess I would throw out there, and everybody else is sort of a grab bag. Like, yeah, certainly Seager is capable of driving the ball out of the park or getting on base, but he just hasn't been happening for him lately. You go down, you know, Dylan Moore. I do to an extent. It's a little less as we move on down the lineup to, you know, to Trammell, who we talked about before. I love the guy, but right now I'm more surprised when he gets on base, to be honest. And that's not a personal shot, or I'm not trying to rip the kid. Just where he's at currently, he looks a little bit lost up there. And I just, when he comes up, I kind of feel like, okay, this is going to be an out.
Yeah, I'm kind of rooting for him, again, not maliciously, to head back down to AAA, just because he needs to. I mean, that's just what happens. That's the process. So, you know, we talk about might as well hurry up and get worse and hurry up and get down. You know, I'm not saying it arbitrarily, but I've seen a couple expressions on his face where, and I'm not a psychiatrist, Bob, but I like to think that I am.
You like to read body language,
yeah,
Dave?
I do. And there was a couple of times you saw what Chuck Knox used to call a Brook Trout look, or your mouth is open and your eyes are wide open.
Brook Trout?
Not exactly a Brook Trout look, but he does look like he has some of the same expressions as he did the first time he was struggling. You know, you see him kind of staring off into the distance. So, yeah, man, look, it's been well established that we love that kid and we're rooting as hard as we can for him. But I don't know, Fraley might be the guy, though. I mean, 493.
If he's got an eye up there.
You need somebody to get on base. Doesn't matter how he gets there.
If we're asking the question today, and you guys text in 710-710 to the Mac and Jack's text line, just who steps up to the plate for this Mariners team that you've got the most confidence in? They're going to find their way on base. It doesn't have to be a hit. They're going to walk. They're just going to find their way on base. Who is that? And for me, it's those four guys, and in probably no particular order, but right now it's Crawford and Fraley are the hottest. Haniger's hurt, so he's out of the equation, but I do have a confidence when he gets up there. And Ty France is finding his way on base, even though his average, I believe, is just a shade under 250 at this point. So he's not tearing it up, but he seems to find his way there as well.
Yeah, well, and I'll tell you what, JP, I mean, you mentioned that it's been really good to watch him. And we'll hear, you know, what Blowers has to say about him being a really good shortstop. But, yeah, I mean, his hitting all of a sudden, he's 274. And it's not just that. It's like you said, he's squaring it up. He's hitting it hard. So, I was looking at him just physically and the fact that when he came out of spring training, he hadn't really hit the ball hard. And just going, I just don't know. Maybe he's not that kind of guy. You know, maybe he's just too slight or he just doesn't have that. And he's been hammering the ball. So, yeah, I would probably do the same thing. I'd probably go Fraley, then J.P. Crawford.
Who would be behind that? That's where it gets harder because those two are hot right now. So those are the easy picks.
I mean, obviously Mitch, if he's healthy.
Yeah.
I like Demo. You know, Dylan Moore hit that triple last night, but it kind of drops off. It's almost all the same.
Yeah, it's I don't know. People are texting in. Again, text in 710-710, Mac and Jack's text line, 206. Fraley, fear the beard. Another one, 360, Fraley. 206, Crawford, Seager, Fraley. I don't have that confidence with Seager right now. I have confidence that he can. He's shown it over and over. If runners are in scoring position, then his average just goes through the roof. But if it's just him, like his first trip up there and there's nobody on base, I don't know where he's at currently. I just don't have that feeling for him that he's going to get there.
253 says Edgar Martinez. Well, it's funny that the reason why I think that's funny because I was going to say, you know who I would have up there is Nelson Cruz.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Nelson Cruz. I think we should have kept Nelson Cruz. You know, he was in town early. I guess he went out with John Stanton.
Yeah, to talk about his he's foundation. Got a charity foundation out here.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. And
he is.
You'd love to have that guy back here.
But. Somebody says Cal Raleigh when he gets here.
Yeah, I saw that. Ichiro.
I think you got to keep everything in perspective when you talk about their level of success with the AAA team. I mean, I'm not discounting a 21-game hit streak. That's awesome. He is rolling. As we've seen with Taylor Trammell, it's a different world here. Taylor went down there and was hitting 600 through the first week. He had a 600 on base percentage. He was just crushing the balls. I think he dipped down to 384 when he got called back up. I mean, he owned AAA. And now we're talking about him like, man, is he going to go back? He looks lost. He looks frustrated. It is a night and day difference, as we talked about with Blauer. So I'm not saying Cal Raleigh can't hit at this level. I just don't expect him to come up here and just light it up when he gets called up.
Yeah. Well, 357. Now, I remember he started off, I think the first day he had a home run, or maybe it was even the first 2 days, but then he cooled off quite a bit.
Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about Cal Raleigh.
Oh.
And then now he's back up to 357. So – Yeah, and again, we'll talk to Blowers about it. I really loved him lighting up that umpire. Yeah. I really loved that. It was just, there was something
just
about...
just enjoy confrontation.
It was just about his conviction. Like, he knew he was right, and he went all in. Because every once in a while, you'll see, like, Service sometimes will kind of... the times I've seen him get thrown, he doesn't, like, go all in.
Nah.
He's kind of like, he says a couple of things, but maybe, you know... maybe he stings them with his words. I don't know, but
they're cutting. They're not animated, but they're cutting words. Dave,
could be.
Yeah, I'd like to see him lose his mind. I think everybody got spoiled with Lou Piniella out here, who just was a volcano on the verge of eruption at all times, and then some of the most classic blowups ever.
Well, I'm throwing the bats out there. I'll never forget. And this is something that I use in my family now. It's part of our language. When he was asked about it afterwards, he said, well, it's just one of those things that happen. So, you know, when Shannon and I do something wrong, you know, why'd you do this? And I'm like, well, it's just one of those things that happened. That doesn't really explain anything.
That's a kind of a get out of jail free card. Like, I don't have an explanation. It just happened.
It's just one of those things that happened.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all encompassing.
I love that.
You
about
can use
Lou,
that for
man.
Anything.
Love that about Lou.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's entered into the vernacular at the Wyman household.
All right. Yeah. All right. Well, somebody texting in, I missed the question, just hopped on. The question was, who do you have the most confidence in when they step up to the plate in this Mariner lineup? And right now, the winners, are Fraley and J.P. Crawford.
You should have bailed that person out, by the way.
No, just let them wonder, what are we talking
tune
about?
Tune in on time. What's the matter with you? I'm sorry, you said Fraley,
Fraley and J.P. Crawford right now. And we're talking about now, not who are they going to be at the end of the year, who are they going to be next year, just currently as this team's constructed. And when they step up to that plate, who do you feel like this guy is going to walk, he's going to get a hit, he's going to get on base? Who do you have the most confidence in? You guys can continue to text in. 710-710 is the Mac and Jack's text line. Coming up, Jamal Adams is not at minicamp, but is that a reason to worry? We'll talk about that next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
We'll talk some Mariner baseball coming up at the top of the hour with Mike Blowers. Do you hate that song? Lefko? He pulled that one down quick.
Yeah, it was very abrupt. There was no fade. He must hate it.
Yeah, a little rusty. My bad.
It was there, and then it was gone.
Lefko, he got a haircut.
You got a haircut? Maybe he's
hungry. His game is off.
His game is off.
Went and got a haircut, took a day off when it rained. What else? Couldn't play pickleball.
Yeah, he got out on the – I was talking to him. He got out on his paddleboard with his buddy who came in.
Honestly, what it was, I heard some other noise somewhere. And so I panicked, thinking it was something else. But it was on the computer here.
Just in my ear. You never panic.
That's the panic for me. You just saw me panic.
Yanking down the music.
Yep, that quick little yank of the music.
When he was first here, we had dead air, and I was looking back there, and I expected to see like arms flailing and things, and it was just very calm.
I think he had his hand on his chin looking at it like, wonder what's going on here.
Yeah. So it's like a guy you want flying the plane.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it wouldn't be that deliberate. There'd be some urgency to... Yeah, we're heading toward the ground pretty quickly here.
Seem to have lost power.
Yeah, that ground's coming up real fast. Yep, better do something. All right, so we'll talk to Blowers at the top of the hour. We hit this yesterday a bit. Jamal Adams, you know, what did you want to see? And I said that, to me, the best of all worlds, considering that he's dealing with a contract situation, is that he would be there, but he doesn't have to participate. But he's just there. And we've seen that a million times with guys who will show up, not participate in drills, but they're there just to show their support, and they're listening, they're learning, all that good stuff. He's not there, but I don't think it's a huge deal. And then we saw some tweets from Adam Schefter and some other people intimating that perhaps there are some family issues he's forced to deal with at this particular moment, and that Seahawks are well aware of it. It doesn't sound like it's a big negative thing. Like, oh boy, here we go. Here's the start of the negativity. Get ready. It's going to be and it may end up being contentious. I don't know. But currently, I don't look at this and go, oh, great. I'd rather he was there. But if the guy has family stuff going on, okay. That's first and foremost.
Yeah. For whatever reason, and maybe this is foolish, we just don't know. I just get the sense that we don't know what he's going to be like in this situation. Say this, though. The one thing that makes it look ominous is, number one, he has a lot of leverage with the fact that the Seahawks gave up two first-rounders for him. I mean, you don't just kiss that goodbye. Oh, thanks for the 1 year, and we lost in the playoffs.
A guy with four fingers and no thumb on his throwing hand.
Yeah, and no brain. And and also, you know, you had 9.5 sacks, and you meant, like, he entirely changed that defense. I mean, when he made plays, it was just different. So you have that. And then also you just have the fact that you know that he forced his way out of the Jets, so out of New York, so he knows how to get that done. And, you know, so it's not like it'll be foreign to him if he does want to make a stink and make a stand. So, but still, I guess it's his love of the game and just the way he plays that I feel like he's going to want to get out there. He's going to want to get out there and be with his teammates. And I know he wants to win. Remember Greg Williams, the D coordinator for the Jets, was saying he's going to get bored out there.
Yeah.
And his answer
was wishful thinking.
His answer was, yeah, I never get bored of winning.
Yeah.
So I think he's a team guy, but is he going to get paid more than, you know, I don't know about more than Bobby Wagner, because that's $18 million, but I think he's going to get paid more than most safeties get paid.
That's kind of the area that Clayton has been touching on, right? We're all trying to guess what it is he may ask for. And we talked about it yesterday, saying we believe Pete and John have a ballpark idea when they brought him over of what it was going to take to bring him back or to sign him to an extension. I don't think they were going into this blind going, well, I think we can get him for $11 million a year. You know, I don't think they're fooling themselves. I think they have a rough idea of what he was going to command. So is he going to make more than Bobby or not? Joel Corey, who really works with the cap for CBS Sports, had a thought on this, said could be an issue about him wanting more than Bobby Wagner.
The one problem getting to that range is I think there's some sense on making him the highest paid defensive player on the team, which is currently future Hall of Famer Bobby Wagner, who signed a 3-year extension 2 years ago for $18 million per year. I have a hard time seeing the Seahawks paying him more than $18 million per year, particularly when the safety market right now is at $15.25 million per year.
All right, so if it's about the safety market, okay, I get that. And maybe they give him a little bit of a bump based on his ability to be an impact player, 9.5 sacks. He's not a traditional safety in the way that he works. He's an impact player. He's making plays all over the field. If it comes down to, well, we just can't pay him more because Bobby's feelings will get hurt or any of that, I don't want to hear that. This guy has a huge amount of value to what you do, and he is not even close to his athletic prime yet, age-wise. It's a different set of circumstances for Bobby, where he's at in his career, how effective he is, and a lot of the conversation around him is, man, can you afford to pay him that much based on what you're getting in return? And this is not to slag on him. It's going to happen to every player. You get older, you make more money, you become less effective as you get older. You get a little slower. You don't do things quite as well as you did, yet your pay is going up each year. So it's a conversation that's going to center around Russell Wilson at some point. It's going to center around Dwayne Brown, who we'll get into at some point. But, you know, any player that's older in football years, you're not getting better, but you're becoming more expensive.
Right. Well, and you also look at this from the standpoint of going forward, and that's why you bring age into it. Because, you know, we talk about Aaron Rodgers, you know, being the MVP, and he's, you know, the best quarterback last year. But if you're taking a, you know, player for the future, then you're going to take Russ, or you're going to take a younger player like Mahomes. Jamal Adams will turn 26 this year. And was he the best player on the team? I mean, on the defense?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. Is there much of a question about that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say second was KJ.
Yeah. But, the impact plays, I mean, Jamal was always around the ball. He was in the backfield. He's sacking the quarterback, and when he didn't, he was out there making tackles. He was just, yeah, the interception thing was problematic, and maybe some of that was due to the injuries. But, yeah, he was your most impactful defensive player, I think, without question. I don't think it's close.
Well, and it's funny, people talk about him struggling in coverage. Like, he can run. He's fast. He can, you know, he can do everything on a football field. It's just not something that has been, you know, maybe he doesn't have good hands. I mean, that one, I mean, it'll haunt him probably for his entire career. My freshman year at Stanford, I had a pass from Jim Everett that I could have picked off and walked into the end zone, and it bounced off my hands. You think I think about the Dan Marino interception? I think about that one.
Yeah.
It's the one that just constantly grinds. You know, it was my first game as a freshman. I could have had a touchdown.
It haunts your dreams.
Dropped it.
It haunts you to this day.
It's right in my hands. And I'm sure Jamal Adams is the same thing, man. He's thinking about that kind of thing. So, I mean, that's where I think that he needs to really improve is his ball skills. But can he cover?
Yeah.
Absolutely, he can cover.
All right, coming up, we'll talk some Mariner baseball. Mike Blowers will join us next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.